coming back again. This is the Sonidos Podcast, and today we have a very, very special guest. We have Elisa Batista here. She's the owner of Lu Taqueria here on Main Street, Bethlehem. She's a culinary art graduate. Took her to Germany on an internship. Learned a lot of cool things there, she'll let us know. Came back up to the Northeast, New York. Worked in a lot of restaurants out there. And eventually that brought her down here to Pennsylvania around the pandemic. So that was a tough time for everyone, and especially for restaurants when people weren't even outside, you know what I'm saying? So let us all know what developed you into creating the business that you have today and who you are as a person in the restaurant business.
Thank you for coming in here and doing this. I appreciate it. I went to school a couple years ago. When I moved here, I've always had a passion for cooking. So I was like, my dream was I want to own my own restaurant, but I wasn't ready. Obviously, when you graduate from school, you still have a lot to learn. After studying a few years, working in different restaurants, I had different cuisine in New York. When I moved here, I started working in restaurants too, but then I went back to school to do bookkeeping. So I wanted to learn. I already knew the back side of it. Now I wanted to learn, numbers, payroll, all the stuff that kind of it's involved in, the whole restaurant setup. So after that, I graduated from that. I started working with other business owners in the area, and I was providing services like, payroll, HR, things that were more on the admin side, so I could get more experience that way. And then after that, that's when the pandemic hit. So during that time, it was kind of hard because I wanted to do the investment, but working with restaurants that had so many years, doing it and seeing the numbers, how, they were all different every week, I was like, I think I gotta wait a little bit. But then after everything, everything started to get back and everyone going out, people spending money, I was like, let me just do it. And then that's when I decided to open to do a food truck.
We can. All right, so you decided to do a food truck. Where does the name come from? Lu Taqueria.
It's pretty much like how I describe myself. I very passionate. So Lu, it's a variation for love you. Something simple, I wanted something small. I thought that name was gonna be easier for other people to pronounce it. It's not. But it's like a very, it's just a simple logo. The name is short, and it just describes how much I love food.
I hear people say, let's just go to Lu. They can't say Taqueria.
Taqueria, it's a little harder. But if you say Lu, you already know. I'm going to Lu, and
Lu. No, that's beautiful. All right. So you went through your culinary arts career, boom, and you had to start by going to college. You did your internship in Germany. Yeah. Cool. You got to be around some cool people. Now you're back in the States. You're ready to do a taco truck, the trailer. Where do you start? Where do you start in acquiring this truck? Do you do it by yourself? Do you have a partner at this point?
At that moment, I had two business partners. One of them was the one helping creating all the recipes and everything. And then the other one was more operating the trailer. Now, when I met with them to start everything, I already created the name, the logo, everything. The concept of the taqueria was already there. That I was working on it for a couple years because I knew that at some point in my life I was going to open something. Obviously, you have to wait. There's a lot of things involving doing your first business, and I didn't want to do it by myself because I know how hard it is, and I do have two kids. So it's for me to manage to do it all at once, plus kids, plus plus my other job too, that I couldn't leave just because I was going to start something. When I went and showed them the idea, they were okay with it. They're like, oh yeah, let's do it. And then we started doing it. And one of my business partners here, it was the two of us doing all the events and getting, you know, all the permits and everything so we can, you know, start the journey with Lou
and the trailer.
So tell me, what time did you get the trailer? Like what year?
Got the trailer 2021, and it was in November.
November, okay. So this is peak pandemic at this point still. It was 19. It was kind of getting over, but people were still afraid, okay? So did you launch right away, right in November?
No, because we had to get some, like, we had to get permits. And actually, like, when we got the trailer, I started, like, looking for places to be at. And then everything, I mean, around that time, it's kind of hard for the trailer because it's cold. So we had to wait all the way, I think, March, April, that we got all the permits. And then we did our first event in April.
Okay, so that's like, what, 5-6 months later. And you're finally able to use the truck. So you had a little bit of time when you were just doing your other job, right? Okay, so you're doing your other job. You can't, guys, you can't quit your 9-to-5 to follow your dreams.
That money.
You need that money on.
No, they, no, we, no, you gotta, not with the, put the money there.
Okay, so you did that, boom, it's around April. How's life going at this point when you start doing events? Because that's the first thing you did, right? Okay, so how's life going right into that first event?
Well, first of all, it wasn't busy. It was kind of nice because we were like, oh, you know, we kind of getting the hang of it. But no, that was wrong. Because when we did the second event, which was in Easton, the Taco Fest, we ran out of food. The event was supposed to be there for 4 hours. We were supposed to stay there for 4 hours. We ran out of food in 2 hours. So we had a lot of people waiting in line for like 40, 45 minutes. And when I saw that we didn't have any food, that was terrible.
What?
It was so terrible because, you know, we didn't know. And we didn't have a kitchen or a restaurant to sell the food if we didn't, you know, sell all of it. So we just made what we thought it was enough, which it wasn't.
Had you close?
Not even close, no, because 2 hours out, and there was not even a lot of vendors. But, I mean, you know, it's a learning experience.
Yeah. We're all been there. And it's funny, how many times did you hear, how'd the food truck run out of food? You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. So you learn from this experience now. A couple of events in, right? You get the ball rolling. You miss a couple of steps where you get the ball rolling. When was the next big event that you knew? Boom, like, I got this, like.
So we did a couple ones after that, no. But then the biggest one that we did after that one, it was Taco Fest in Stillstars. That one was huge. It was a couple thousand people. We did better. We did run out of food after 4 hours, but we did a lot more than the first one, like the first big one. So we were really like proud of ourselves. We were like, oh, you know, we made good money. We worked a lot. We didn't stay there for seven hours and didn't have the food for 7 hours, but at least we did more than the one before. So we did learn a little bit. Now we still had to like pick up some other things. But also it's like very limited space that you have when you have a trailer. And we didn't have, you know, like we didn't have a lot of storage and all the, you know, all that. We don't want to get no one sick, obviously with the food that we make. But I think we did pretty good, you know, comparing it with the other.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So now you know that, like, honestly, planning is key. You thought you planned, and then boom, you didn't know. So how are you going to plan for something that you have no clue, you know? So, like, how do you feel, like, the planning aspect of things from the first one to that event where you feel like you succeeded and you developed? How was that? How was that development? How do you feel about it? Like, was it quick? Was it a lot of practice in between? Huh?
Yeah, 100% is practice. You go to events. You can plan better for the events that they sell tickets. Because let's say if they say we sold 1,000 tickets and we're going to be there for 4 hours, you know there's so much food you can serve per hour. So you can kind of plan with that information. Now, when you go to an event that it's just something that, you know, a Facebook event, go in there, you don't know how many people, then you kind of go with the idea of how much you want to sell for the time that you're going to be there. I mean, there's things that kind of varies, and you go there and it's raining, that might, you know, it's not going to help with the sell, with, you know, with you selling everything. But at least you have a number in your head, like, okay, today in this event, I want to make $3,000. I'm going to be there for 4 hours. Let's work on that. And then if you, you know, if you sell out, you sell out. That's a good feeling when you sell out, because you go with an amount of food that you really hope that you sell all of it. And you don't have to come back and bring that back, you know, to the restaurant. Now we don't care that much because we do have a restaurant here. So whatever it's left over, we can kind of, you know, bring in here and still use it. But when you just have a trailer, you want to make sure you sell out every time. Because
you don't want to bring it home.
Yeah. And then you cannot just keep it there for days. You know, you've got to get rid of it.
So now you're at a point in life where, you know, you get these events rolling. You started what? That's around April, a couple months in. And now you still got a trailer around like November again, which is getting colder now. Yeah. Now, what are you doing? Like, do you have a spot at this point?
We just park it. Unless it's like, we did events in November. We did events in December too. But it was more like a lunch. So the weather wasn't bad. We just pull up to the event. Usually it was like a lunch in a big warehouse. We go there for 2-3 hours and then we just put it back. You know, I just park it. You're still making money, but it's not something that's gonna be steady. But it definitely helps when you have a brick and mortar, and then you can go out there and still make, you know, more money with the trailer. So that's 100% helpful with the small business.
Okay, so now this is going on, right? And you know you can make your money, but now you're creating income with your side, well, with your main hustle at this point.
Yeah.
You know, with your main hustle, and you got the taco truck on the side doing its own thing. When does it develop into this restaurant?
So this was actually like an opportunity. This became available, the pizzeria that was here for like 14 years, I think, or even more. The person that was running it, he wanted to just do something else. And then we got the information, like, this place is going to be available. And it kind of, we just took it. We already had, like, clientele, people asking us, like, oh, where do you guys go? And I did, in fact, in the first year of the trailer, we did park the trailer in a car wash. So we kind of had, from Monday to Friday, a spot that you can go. It was a limited hours. It was like maybe 4 to 9 or 4 to 10. But still, you could find, you know, the food there. But we're like, if we keep doing events and we have kitchen, then it's just, you know, it will be easier for us to do it. So this came up, we set the opportunity, and, you know, we're here.
And how long has he been?
So this was in March. So it was a year and 4 months.
A year and 4 months. So this journey is taking you all the way up to a restaurant on Main Street, Bethlehem, where there's a bunch of restaurants here. Great restaurants, you know. People have had good experiences, bad experiences. And it's like, you're here to you know, put your stake, no pun intended, put your stake on the road, you know, and show people that you can do it. So in this year and some change that you've been here, how has that journey been? You have a restaurant now. We're going to talk about how you have employees now.
Yeah.
It's not just you anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get to be out of the restaurant for, you know, longer than you were when you were in the trailer.
Yeah.
So how has that been this last year with the brick and mortar?
Well, this is, for me, it's like going back to school again.
Wow.
There is so many new things that you learn coming from like a trailer, that something new happened in every event, something that you didn't expect and didn't plan. And it's the same thing as in a restaurant too. Also, it's more of like, for me, I take it like I have to plan. There is I feel like year 1, 2, 3, it's more like you're trying it out. You don't even know if you're gonna make it happen. And honestly, I don't think any person that opens a business wants to open a business just to just to kind of make money just for the operating expenses. So I think like the first three years, I'm just working on trying to establish the business, have good clientele, still, you know, keep good consistency in the food, and then plan, forecast, or, you know, just make plans on how much money with the help that I have now can actually make. And then from there, still like grow the numbers, because I feel like with one restaurant, I don't want to like expand to make this location like bigger, but I do want to expand in different locations, the same food, kind of like the same size that I have here. And I feel like it's doable, but there's a lot of planning, budgeting to do, and you need help. Like I can't do it all. I can be here cooking and then do the books and also do the marketing and, you know, be the events coordinator. Like I have to start sharing the things that I do so I can plan better and expand and then just build a team that can, you know, help me with that too.
So I feel like our biggest lesson throughout these couple of years is planning. Something that we really need to get better with. How much time do you put in, like, a week planning for what you're going to do the next day or the next week? Like, how do you organize yourself planning for your business?
It depends. So for everything has like different times. So let's say I have my full staff and I make a schedule and I count on them to come in. So I don't have to plan to come in. So I can work on my marketing. I can work on specials with my business partner. I can work on maybe booking a few catering events, reaching out to people that really send a lot of emails. So I got to be on it too. So everything depends like what I have to do on a weekly, on a daily basis. And that all changes
every day.
Yeah. So you would try to plan. I mean, I have things that I want to do. Like I have goals that I want to, you know, do for the rest of the year, for next year. But I put the time into it when I'm like, okay, the restaurant has employees. I can really focus in making forecasts for next year. And then I sit down and do it there. Like it's not, I'm going to do it on a Tuesday at 2:00. But I try, but if it doesn't happen, I'm just, you know, I go with the flow and I just make time for it. And I do have like a list of things, like priorities that I want to do and you know, with the restaurant, and also have a great communication with my business partner. And it's always getting better, you know, to different people. We don't even live, you know, around here. Yeah,
we work.
Yeah, so we just have to make it work. But I feel like everything depends on the timing, the day, you know, whatever day brings, then you kind of go around and make, you know, make your schedule as you go.
Okay. So that makes sense. So it's really just, you're not rolling the dice. It's not like it's a gamble. It's more, it's like an educated guess. Yeah. It's an educated guess. So throughout what? This is now 2 years now for you at this point when you're starting the business. You know that you have to plan. You learn from the trailers and the mistakes you made and, you know, running out of food early. So now you're here. It's 2024, you know. A year and some change in, this is, you know, at least on now. What are you doing to keep the business rolling and just stay, like, relevant at this point? Because, again, you're at a street where the location where you're at, it's a good location, but you're, like, in the cut. You're in the back.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you're the little brother in, like, a famous family.
My hidden gem.
Yeah. Ooh, wait, say that again.
A hidden gem. Like, you have to... I feel like wherever you, if you build something good, people will find you. It's for me being on Main Street, even if I'm in the back, it's huge. I didn't plan this to be in this location and it worked this way. And I'm just making the best out of it. Now, what I'm working on now is consistency. I need a great team, which I have right now. And they're working alongside with me and Andres, my business partner. And they're really taking care of the business when I'm not here. Obviously, you always have to oversee what's happening. Even if I'm not here, I'm always, you know, checking everything, making sure they don't need anything. I'm still like more involved in the mornings, you know, dropping off the food. So I kind of have like more control of my food costs. I'm not just like buying food and whatever. So I'm really looking at numbers. That for me, that's like my language. Like I could see the numbers and I can be like, okay, I got a plan for this. Hours need to be cut or whatever I have to do. And I really don't have to be here to make, you know, to make that happen. But yeah, I guess we have good food. People know that we do. They're bringing all their friends, families. And that's how you kind of build something good. You know, it's getting there. It takes time. We have to be patient. But it just takes time. And I feel like we're doing it.
Yeah, we're good.
That's nice. And I see because just from talking to people, I've been going around businesses, you know, trying to get them on the pod. And I've talked to them. Oh, I'm doing this with this person. I'm doing that with this person. Oh, Lou, you're known already in a year. So it's pretty cool that, you know, you're getting your name out there. And are you doing any more events? Is that, like, still the thing that you're doing? Like, do you still have the food truck? Are you still doing that? What happened to the food truck?
So we saw the food truck. There was a lot of complications from, like, the pickup truck and stuff like that. And those are expenses that you really don't want to get. You know, if you're building something, you want to kind of control the money that's coming out from your bank account. So it's kind of like something that had to, that decision had to be made when we sold it. But we do events. It's more like a tent setup. Not everyone, if it's raining or if it's like a bad day out, it's not ideal, but we do offer it. We also offer catering. If you have like, if you want to pick up the food here, we'll make it for you. You can take it home, you know, you have your party there, whatever. But eventually I think we will get back to buying a food truck. I feel like it's good. And even for the summertime, like you don't even have to run a food truck for the whole year. If you book a few events and then the big ones that we already experienced, like which ones are the big that we go there, we're gonna sell out and we can make a couple $1,000s, then we'll just do those and, you know, kind of have it more revenue coming in, but also not requiring like us to getting more, like a lot of people and spending more money, you know? So we can kind of control it and still make more money.
That's nice. That's like, just to diversify, you know, just to add to the revenue.
And people love when they go out, they're like, oh my God, Lou truck is here.
Yeah, they do. I'm that guy. Yeah. I love food trucks.
And there's like, oh, you know, there's an event and there's like 10 different food trucks, 10 different food. I mean, you love that. You're in this in one place and you could eat so many different food and you know, in one whole space.
Okay. Cool. You know, you're there. That's something that you want to do probably in the future. But what are some things that you want to do like in here that probably like you're willing to try? New recipes, anything like that? Like, I don't know, a new juice, bringing it in, anything like that? Or what do you got for us?
We have a new item coming on the menu, which I'm not going to tell you yet. We're working on it. It's something that people have asked us to like have it here, and we already have the stuff here. We're actually making, you know, just adding a couple things extra, but people are gonna love it. I know people are gonna love it. And then also the aguas frescas, it's nice because we can make anything we want. Like we have three flavors that we decided to leave on the menu just because they were like the best sellers. So we just, you know, left it there on the menu. But sometimes if I see, I don't know, like a fruit in season, I just buy it and we just make, you know, we just make it and have it for a special, yeah. But I feel like that adding that menu item up, it's gonna be good.
Stay tuned. that sparked me another question, which is, how do you decide how much like diversity you have in the menu to how limited the menu is? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
How much, how little? Like, cause it's Mexican cuisine has a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you decide that?
Well, obviously, this is a decision of two people, right? So my business partner and I would sit down. We still want to make everything, keep everything authentic. That's like our identity. We just don't want to start mixing stuff and lose what we brought since day one. So we don't want to have a whole menu, like a huge menu, just because we want to keep making stuff fresh. Every time you take a bite into like one of our items, you can really feel like it's fresh. So you make it like a huge menu. I call those like Bible menus that you just like turn pages and it's like nonstop. I feel like we don't need that. And we pretty much are taqueria. So like our main thing is for you to know that we have good tacos. Everything else, we obviously have it to give the option. Let's say for the gringas, their flour tortilla quesadillas. People like the flour tortilla. Sometimes they don't like the corn. So we just want to give them options. But at the same time, like our main thing is tacos, you know? But whatever the other things will bring, it's going to be with stuff that we have. And we might just change a little bit of things. And it's just for the liking of people, you know? If you want to come here and get a bowl, we want to make sure we do provide it, but with what we have already, you know?
Not go out of your way and cater identity.
No, we're not doing that. It's like if I tell you, like, hey, you, but can you be this person today? No, it's like you keep your essence, your identity. People already met you one way. We do obviously change a few things to just make it better, but we have like our stamp and we just want to keep it that way.
And
yeah.
So honestly, again, we've learned throughout your journey, we've learned that planning is key.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. You know, that take the chance, take a calculated chance. You know, keep your 9 to 5, guys. I'm gonna repeat that. Keep your 9 to 5.
Whatever it is.
8 to 4, freaking $100 a week. If you could do it, you know what I'm saying? But just keep it going. And honestly, I'm really impressed with the person that I met. You know, you inspire me to do a lot. And I wanna see. Honestly, all I needed was a good conversation. And we had a great conversation, you know, off camera. And just for you guys to know, this is episode 2.
Yes.
Episode 1 didn't get recorded. We just talked here for like an hour.
We became friends.
Yesterday.
Now we're doing
this is the real episode, you know, so whatever. And I honestly want to see, what do you have to say to people that, you know, are probably in a journey, you know, not like struggling or anything, but you know,
you're gonna struggle.
What? Not that part.
Yeah.
Meaning like, you know, they're going through their thing, but they're ready to bet on themselves. What do you have to say to that person that's like, wow, Elisa did that? Like she went to school and like she traveled and she came back and she started with you know, to that person that's ready to like invest in themselves and just go all in.
So I would recommend first, you gotta clean your circle of people. I feel like there's so many things that we think we know until we go for it and we're like, we don't know nothing. Like, that's the main thing for me. If you wanna open a business and you wanna open a restaurant business, find friends that are in doing it. You know, don't do what they do, but just hear them out. Hear how they started their journey, how they messed up things, how they tried this, it didn't work, they spent so much money. There's a lot of mistakes that you do, obviously, when you don't know something, and it costs you money when you're in business. So you wanna kind of start planning, having stuff written down that can have, like, you can visualize, like, your goal, where you wanna go. You're starting here, you have this amount of money. You want to invest this, add it 2, 3, 5% if something goes wrong. See, you can really plan, and when you go for it, nothing stops you. I feel like opening your own restaurant or being, you know, working your own hours, it's not easy. You're gonna struggle. You have to hustle. There are a lot of other people doing it at the same time. But what you're gonna do, and you have to motivate yourself every day. You have to do it from your own self, because you're the one waking up and be like, hey, I'm going to work, I'm not getting paid, but I still gotta do it. And imagine doing that for a year, 2 years, you're gonna get tired. But if you really believe you can make it happen, you gotta wake up every day and just make it happen. Flow with things, don't force anything. Sometimes you think you're ready to open something, you go out there, you find a spot, it doesn't work out, let it be. Like, don't try to fight it. eventually life puts you in places that you, from there, you can take the opportunity. That's why it's called opportunity. You take the opportunity and you go. But if you feel like you're not ready for it, just keep learning. Keep, you know, getting involved with other people in your area, trying to learn as much as you can. Numbers are very important. Budgeting is very important. When you first start, if you have budgets and you go negative in like a few weeks, then you might, that happens. Imagine like you controlling the money coming out and you still have income coming in. Like you can save enough money for you to survive in slow season or whatever the business idea you have. You will always, you're always going to start from the bottom. And then if you plan yourself, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be worth it. But you have to believe that and work for that too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from her first. You know, Elisa Bautista here at Lu Taqueria on Main Street, Bethlehem.
Bring your friends.
You bring your friends, your family, your dogs, you know, everyone, your ex, your future wife, your neighbor, you know, whoever you got, bring them here. Again, Main Street, Bethlehem. This is a great spot. Yesterday, I had great food, you know what I'm saying? It was amazing. I took it home and reheated it. Still good, you know what I'm saying? So, guys, this is a great person here, and even better restaurant, and it's all through her hard work and dedication. So I hope this, you know, inspires any of you to start your own business or to come here and try some good food. So thanks. Thank you again.
Thank you.
For chance number two. You know, believe in second chances here. And again, this is Sonidos Podcast, and we're here with people making noise. Thank you for stopping by. Peace.
That was good.
That was good, right? That was-